All right. Good morning. My name is Casey. Some of you may not see me here often. I joined the afternoon service in Georgetown. Anyway, today I'm taking the word. And as you saw the introduction video over there, we are doing a series on the story of the world. The whole idea of this is, you know, there's just so many things from the Bible that we don't understand. Sometimes we look at one aspect of it and then we think, oh, you know, God says this and so on, and we get confused. And so the leaders felt that it's good for us to look into the overall story. That's why it's the story of the world. And the verse that triggered this start of a series is one, and it said to them, O foolish ones, because they say, hey, you know, everything is written in the Bible. O foolish one and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer for these things? Because people are saying, how come this Messiah is suffering and so on? And says, all these are written. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that's why we wanted to do this series. Basically, I think the whole entire story of mankind can be understood with these five events, you know. The creation, as we heard from last week from Brother Joel. And then today we look at the fall, right? And this is probably the saddest event ever in the history of mankind. And then the chosen nation, redemption, and new creation. So today we want to look into of course last week we looked at creation and so on. And then we saw how wonderful, you know, God has done with the Garden of Eden. Imagine. Perfect, you know, everything you want. No worries, no fears, no uncertainty and so on. This is the world we look at. And then all of a sudden, what happened? We have this. Wow. And this is in one of the most wonderful countries in the world. People all desire to want to go there. The land of the free, right? All this homelessness. And then, of course, we also see all the wars, the Ukraine and Israel and so on. So what happened? All this wonderful design of God was all destroyed because of our problem, which is the fall. And what happened in the fall? That's what we're going to be looking at today. What happened? And what should we do? Because the whole entire purpose of this series is so that we understand God better, so that we see God in the right way, so that we look at the Bible and understand how we should respond to this and how we should live our lives. And of course, this is the biggest and the saddest event ever in the history of mankind. So what happened over here? What can we learn from this? And what is our response to this? That's what we're going to be looking at today in our 35 minutes. So why don't we just commit this time to the Lord? Father, we want to thank you for your word. Truly, O God, that your word is a light unto our feet. Your word helps us to understand you better. So I pray for the congregation this morning, that you open our hearts and our minds so that we receive the truth of your word of God, and so that we may not be deceived by the things of this world, by the enemy, by the systems of the world. Father, I pray, O Lord, that you will anoint the word and bring the word come to life so that we all can grow in faith and in character, in your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to start off by telling the account of the fall in four steps, right? Right after creation, everything was perfect and wonderful. We want to look at what happened after that. When God created everything and there was a purpose, a structure, and our role that we want to play. We're supposed to support God in tending the garden. I tell you, I'm just trying to imagine, you know, that the state of the Garden of Eden, we will never be able to imagine. Today, wherever we are, like Brother Joel coming here, working in a company, the first thing is that you worry. How are the people here? Will the boss like me? Can I trust this guy? What's happening in the future? Look at the war in Ukraine. Can you imagine a world where we don't have to have any of this worry? We just wake up in the morning and everything is complete. And we see someone, we can fully trust them with our lives and with our heart and so on. We can never imagine like that because it's being destroyed after creation. But that is what happened when God created the Garden of Eden and the plan for man. And he gave a command. If we had kept the command, all of these things would be wonderful. But the good news is, as Auntie Sue says, there's always a plan B with God. right? So I'm going to look at a command and what happened there. The thing is not the temptation, but it's our response to the temptation. So what did Adam and Eve do? And look, let's not be so quick to judge Adam and Eve, eh? Because we would be like that too if we don't have that kind of reminder and protection, right? But the good thing is that even the Bible says all of these are written so that we can learn. We can learn. They've made the mistake. We can learn. I always say that, you know what? We better learn from other people's mistake because we don't have all the time in the world to make our own mistake and learn from it. Yeah. You know, we don't have the time, right? And then the consequence of sin. Actually, it's so sad. We think about consequence of sin. But the good news is as we look into the rest of the stories, you will see that God is such an amazing God. I tell you, as I've been a Christian for about, how many years now? 30? Wow, I'm that old. Okay, 37. But, you know, I was not born a Christian. I can tell you that. I can understand completely the state of the world. I don't believe in God. When I was younger, I think those people who go to church are weak. You know what? You guys cannot fight in life. That's why you go to church. I really had such a judgment and so on. And yet, when I came to know God, and the more I read about God's word, the more I realize what an amazing God we have. Just looking at this passage over here, such an amazing God. And sometimes we take him for granted, like in the same way Adam and Eve took it for granted that God had everything for them. But let's talk about the story, right? So when we look into, right, the first thing, God has created Garden of Eden. So the first thing he says is that this is a command, right? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So the Hebrew word for this one is, you are doomed to die. You won't die straight away, right? You got electrocution. You're doomed to die over time. So now when we look at this command, so here we have it, right? The tree of knowledge. And I'm sure a lot of us got this question. Why? Why God make everything perfect, must put a tree of evil inside there? Huh? Nothing to do. Why must tempt us? That's us. But here's the thing. Nobody says that a tree is evil. They're saying that this tree gives us the knowledge of good and evil. And nothing wrong with that. You know, God is a God of great order and structure and perfection. So why do I say this? There are many passages. I only got 35 minutes, so I can't tell you all. Many passages in the book of Daniel and Isaiah where God actually says that we all should seek after the knowledge, wisdom of good and evil so that we can make right decisions. One of the most well-known scripture that I want to refer to you is from a book of 1 Kings 3:9, where it talks about Solomon. Remember when Solomon was given the kingship and he prayed to the Lord, give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people that I may discern between good and evil. God wants us to understand what is good and evil, but not in the way that Adam and Eve went through about it. You will see later on, right? For who is able to govern your great people? We live in a crazy world. I want wisdom. I want knowledge. I want to be able to know how should I behave in this? What should I decide? Do you know that your success in life, your future, your destiny, it all depends on how you make decisions. I tell you that. Who do you believe to be true? Right? Who do you believe? Oh, invest in this company. If you believe wrongly, that's it. All your money is gone. Marry the wrong person. Good thing I married the right one, right? So yeah, you know, so I think it's our choices that we make in our lives. But the good news is, I know we all make some bad choices. Not my marriage, of course, right? We're going to make some bad choices. But the good news is that God is always there to guide us and we can learn from what happened. So there is nothing wrong with the knowledge of good and evil. The only thing is that why do we want to get it and whether we are getting it in the right way. Now, the other thing that people always ask is that, hey, okay, fine, you know, good and evil, but why must God give us a test and so on? You know, human beings, we are so funny, you know. Why must they test and then get us to fail and so on? Hey, dude, the garden has got thousands of trees, of fruits and so on. And God only asks you, hey, one of the three, don't touch, don't eat, cannot. And God is not even saying that you cannot eat it. It's just that in your time, not now, after you've learned, and then you can go about. There are certain things that we are not ready for. I tell you that. Love is good, isn't it? Marriage is good and so on. Would you marry a three-year-old daughter with a three-year-old son? No, there is a time and a place for you to do things. And God wants us to have all the knowledge of good and evil, but in His time and for the right reason. But we want to rush it. And that's the other thing, you know. The problem with Adam and Eve is, maybe I'm jumping the gun now. The problem with Adam and Eve is that the way they acquire knowledge is the wrong way. It's almost like, I want to understand, you know, I want to reach out to the drug addicts. I want to reach out to those, you know, who are doing all these bad things and so on. Oh, those people who are broken. But, oh, so for you to learn that, you must take drugs, is it? Oh, let me take drugs so that I know what a drug addict is like. So that is sometimes our short-sightedness as human beings. When we understand there's something we want, we go about the wrong way. So now there's another question again. We look at God and say, why God? Why you test us? You see, the thing is, we only look at one little thing that God asks us to do, and we highlight the thing as if God is such a bad person. Why would He restrict us? And that is where human beings get tempted. Because the enemy will come and say, hey, your God like that one. Huh? Why cannot do this? Cannot do that? Everybody else can do. Love is free. Why? Love is good. Why must restrict? But God has given the whole garden. You can eat all you want until you're overweight. And God says, only one, don't eat this one. And yet we must point at one and say, oh, why cannot? That's our problem. So same thing, like, why must God test us? Who say God is testing you? You are tested when your desires come to play. So say, oh, God is full of tests and so on. That's why we tend to look in God. And that is the first problem. When we begin to doubt the character of God, when we begin to question, why is God like that to me? You already give yourself a space for the enemy to come in. I tell you that. And that's how Adam and Eve fail. And we want to learn from this. So look at tests. What do you mean of tests and so on? You look at Abraham. When Abraham was asked to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans, he was doing well and so on. And God said, hey, go over there. Is this called a test? If he had gone, if not gone there, then we would not be where we are today. Or what about when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac and so on? Right? And what about in the case of Israel in the wilderness, when they had to go for 40 years, when God says, hey, I give you a promised land and so on. Take note. Every of these things, God gives a command. God gives a command because He wants you to accomplish something better. When God told Abraham to leave the Ur of Chaldeans because He is going to give them a better future. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, He wants Abraham to learn his trust and faith in God. And when God told the Israelites that we're going to give you the promised land and so on, He is giving them a better future from slavery. But each time, either we respond in the right way, we pass the test, or we fail. It depends on our response. So the way I look at it is that not God giving us a test. God is giving it an opportunity for us to grow, for us to have better things, right? God wants to give a promised land because this is something that's good, better for us. And yet we whine and we complain and we say why, and then we keep looking at that one restriction, you know? That's a problem. God gives us a wonderful promised land and we look at, oh, we don't have garlic in the desert. Hey, dude, it's only 2 weeks or something like that. But we want to complain, oh, why can't we have this one? And because of our focus on that one little thing, restriction, and that's it, we lose all of this. So what else? What more about in the case of when Jesus was in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting and so on, and he was tested. No. So here's the thing, right? God doesn't test us. God gives us a command. God tells us that, do this, do that. And if you do that, you will get certain things. But it is always someone else who would test and say, are you sure God asked you to do this? Why would God ask you to do this? Oh, you are not fit for this one. You will not want it. You don't deserve and so on. So it's always the external things that test us, because that's how, you know, we learn or we grow either way. And finally, what about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? So you look at this. God has a great plan for all of us. And for His plan to come to pass, He needs to use people like you and me to go about doing certain things. And that is a command. But we look at it as tests. Because we always wonder whether we're going to do well or not. That's because we depend too much on ourselves. But if we trust God, so there's a thing. It's hard to trust God sometimes when we don't see the future. You know? And we cannot wait. So if you look at this, that the problem with us is that we tend to want to do things our way in the time that we want. Look at this. Matthew 4, 8 to 9. This is talking about after Jesus fasted for 40 days and he was tested by Satan. And what Satan said? Hey, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to them, hey, all this I'll give to you if you only bow down to me. See, all these promises, God has already given this promise to Jesus. But Satan comes and says, I think, you know what? It's too long to wait. I'll give it to you now. So the question is not whether or not, right? The tree of knowledge of good or evil is good or bad, or whether God tests us. The point is God has a great plan for all of us. And the same thing with Adam and Eve. God's plan for Adam and Eve was to tend the garden, live together, multiply, enjoy, and, you know, have this wonderful, abundant life. But we want it our way. So if you ask me, if I can summarize, right, the issue with the tree of knowledge, good and evil, they can answer all of our questions, why we have this evil thing, why does God doesn't want to allow it. Actually, God wants us to have all of this, the knowledge, the wisdom, right, even taste the tree, but in the right time. So the first question is, are we willing to be waiting for God's time? Whatever you're looking for. Oh, I want this. I want a better job. I want a better one. I want a better condition and so on. In this case, Adam, maybe look at what is prohibited. That means something that you're not able to have it now and you want it. Nothing wrong to ask God. But the question is, are you willing to wait for God's time? That's all. Like I said, there are a lot of things that are good, but we cannot push it. A flower is not ready to bloom if it's not ready. But we force it to open, we kill the flower. Sex. It's a wonderful thing designed by God. There's a whole book talking about this, you know. Sex is not evil. Sex is not sinful if you do it in God's way. Sex is wonderful. You don't have sex before marriage. You don't introduce sex to a 12-year-old kid because it's so wonderful. So here's the thing. There's always a time, and which is why now the world is getting really messed up, because we are allowing children at the young age to decide what they want to do. Change their sex and so on. Oh, I feel like this is the scary thing. Because the world says that, hey, if you feel like it, just do it. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is what God wants for us, but wait. Wait. You learn about the good things of God first. You learn about the character of God. Then you can be able now to understand what is good and evil. Secondly, not only God's timing. So let me ask you then, what are you seeking for from God? What are you asking from God? What are we unhappy about with God that He's not giving us this thing? Ask yourself, do you trust God enough to wait for His time? Because if we don't, sometimes we can get things in our own hands and we have disaster, as you can see, because of Adam and Eve. I tell you this, if Adam and Eve could just say, here, only one tree, let me wait. God must have a reason. God must have a reason. I don't know what it is, but I trust Him. Then all will be fine. Secondly, this is the scary thing. The process of getting what we want. Like Adam and Eve wants the knowledge, the wisdom of good and evil. The problem is they want it the wrong way. God has a wonderful way for them to learn. So knowledge of good and evil, we want to know from the perspective of understanding what causes bad and good and so on. But in the case of Adam and Eve, they actually want to experience it. It's almost like I said just now, if I want to study about cancer, because, you know, I want to understand how to get people to avoid cancer or this kind of a virus and so on. I want to understand and study from the external side. But Adam and Eve wants to study cancer by getting cancer in their body. Oh, what is good and evil? Let us be evil so that we know what evil is. And that's when evil enter into us. This is a sad thing. Because why? We want to do it our way. A lot of times it's our way that we think is better. But God is wiser. Because there's just so many things we still don't know. As I said, when I first started, before I became a Christian, I think I'm so smart. I know everything. I'm a hardworking guy. I'm a smart guy. I want to do everything. I believe in myself. But the more I read the Word of God, the more. And today I meet a lot of really successful people. I go around, I coach CEOs, I have classes with all these top companies around the region and so on. I meet all of them. But I tell you, when I go back to the Word of God, I say there's such great wisdom there. The older I grow, the come to realize that actually how limited we are, you know. But here's the thing, when you're young, you think you know everything like Adam and Eve. So here, I want to challenge you. Whatever you're seeking for from God, make sure that we're doing it in God's way, not in our own way. Because all the time, when we do this, we get in trouble, right? The way of getting God's blessing, not just the timing, but how we go about getting it, that's the other problem. So sometimes look at us, whatever we're facing, what we're suffering now, is it because of our own foolishness that we do things because we rush God? Or because we want to do it my way? See what happens to Abraham and Sarah. God promised that, you know, I'm going to give you to be, you know, fathers of all this nation. But you know what? I cannot wait. Huh? Sarah, you're so old. Young one. And now we create all this one in the Middle East. This is the cause of Abraham and Sarah. Why? Because they pushed the process. Right? Over and over again. Go and look it up. That's why it's a great moment for us to really reflect and ask God, what is it that I want from you? Hey, nothing wrong for I have desire. So here's the thing, nothing wrong to ask God for anything. Rich, you know, even fame, ask God. But be ready to accept the answer if God says, wait. Or do it my way. If we can't, then we'll be in trouble. And finally, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of, okay, what is the purpose? Why do you want the knowledge of good and evil? Why? For your own? You look at King Solomon. He says, give me this wisdom so that I can govern your people. But Adam and Eve, give it to me because it will make me be like God. You know, a lot of us, we want the result. That's why that's our problem. Oh, Raj is so smart. Oh, you know, Grace is so talented and so on. We want that. But actually, God wants to give us that. But you must go through the process. That's why the process is very important. The whole idea of getting the knowledge of good and evil is not so much getting that. It is the process of us learning. That's why it's almost like in exams. Parents, let me tell you this. Our problem is that we are focused so much on get 10A, 10A. But what's the purpose of going to school? It's to learn. The test is only just to let you know, hey, you don't understand, study more. So our whole life should be in the process of learning. So if I want to understand what is the knowledge of wisdom of living and so on, I got to say, God, what must I do to learn this? Instead of, I want that. I want this. You know, whenever we aim for that, I want this, I want that, that's when we take shortcut. So if you tell your kids you got 10A, what do they do? Copy. Steal. Yeah. So if I want just money, but if I say that I want to live a life, I want to walk in the way that God has called me, which area has we put me to? If we put me in education, I want to be the most excellent, right? Education. Because for God. And in the process, God will give you the money, the wife or whatever and so on that you need. But most of us, we all try to seek after that fruit. You know, here's the thing, the fruit. But for us to get a fruit, we must do a lot of things. We must take action. The farmer who gets the best rambutan tree or the durian tree don't get it by aiming and positive, you know, positive thinking about the fruit. You got to do the work. And but that's our problem. We don't focus on our execution, and when the result comes out, we get jealous. Ping Hu, you're so lucky. Your tree farm is so much better than mine. What do? I steal his tree. that's it. Because I want what you have. This is our problem. You see, when Eve said, we will be like God, that's our problem. We want to learn that God wants us. Then that's very different. That means think of yourself as the process and the purpose. What's the purpose at the end? Are you doing for your own? This is the big problem of Adam and Eve, right? So now we understand the command. And the command is good. Let's stop our thinking, oh God, you know, prohibit us, God tests us. No, God has the best plan for all of us. Except we only look at the little negative thing. By the way, human beings are like that. We all, the FOMO, you know, we all, O always have the fear of missing out. That's why it's so easy for Satan to tempt us by just saying, hey, why your God is like that one? Cannot eat. Why cannot one? But we can do so many things. But we're going to focus on one thing we cannot do. That's why Lazada, Zalora, all this one is always banking on this one. Oh, three left. Oh, five left and so on. Hey, I got this, you got another. That's why Kiansi cancel everything. Right? But ask God. Don't seek after the things that, you know, other people have. Ask, what is it that God wants you to do? Not the end result, but what should I walk each day? That's why Enoch and all this one is there. What should I do today, God? You may not be Elon Musk, you may not be President Biden and so on, but whatever role you are in, just a, you know, company employee or what, doesn't matter. God is not impressed by this. God is impressed by what you do in that capacity. I can be a retired guy, but God, today, what should I do that can please you, that I can learn, that I can have more wisdom instead of my way, right? But we live in a world where Frank Sinatra, right? And now the end is near. It's my way, always. My way, you end up 6 feet underground, right? So therefore, you see, now we have a commandment, but now here's a problem. The command of God, which is given very simple, clear to us, if we follow it, we have that perfect, wonderful, abundant life. But because there are forces around us that tempt. So now the serpent, now we move into chapter 3. We have now a new character. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, okay, I'm going to stop there. So again, say, how come? Right? In the perfect, how come God got evil people and so on? And what's the serpent? Now, most people, when we look at the, when we think about the snake, we think about like this. Wow, the snake sliding down and then Eve there. Wow, I don't think Eve has got such nice hair those days, right? Shampoo and so on. But here's the thing, you know, we all have all this kind of a simplistic view. But if you look at the word serpent in the Hebrew word, the serpent is actually from the word Nahash, right? Nahash, which actually can mean a lot of things. It could, number one, be, you know, serpent. That talks about it. It also could talk about someone who is a deceiver, right? Who deceives you and traps you, a diviner, a divine being. Right? Or, in fact, there are many passages that talks about shining, you know, a shining one. And if you look at it, the verse 1 of chapter 3, in the ISV version, it says, now, not the serpent, now the shining one. Right? So, if you look at it, now we don't know for sure. But it's not important. Don't look at one thing we don't understand and build your whole interpretation of God in that. That's why we get stuck. Oh, you cannot explain this one. That means God is not real. This is our problem. We always look at one little thing we don't understand and we build the whole thing up as our own basis of our understanding of God. So the serpent, by the way, the serpent is not a snake for sure. Right? And, you know, was walking. Oh, by the way, the serpent can talk. Can talk. I think Adam also said, eh? Who did you just spoke to? Because Adam named all the animals, you know. Huh? This guy, the ancient serpent. How come I don't know him? That's why you're falling asleep on your job. Right? But it could also be a seraphim, a fiery serpent, or divine beings, or even the dragon. The dragon, the old serpent. Now, what we know for sure is that, yes, there was a being that was looked like a serpent, could walk and talk, but that being is actually being controlled by Satan. How do we know this? Because in Revelations 12:9, it says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth. That's at the end. That is the ending of what happened to Satan. But how did Satan become Satan? Look at this, Isaiah 14:12. How you have fallen from heaven, O day star. By the way, day star, if you go look at the word, is also called the shining one. Son of dawn, how you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said, here's the thing. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will ascend on the mount of assembly in the far regions. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you were brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. And if you remember the curse of Satan, dust you will eat, actually it refers to that. Your level has dropped down to the bottom. That Sheol is actually the dust, right? It's not it dust, but you know, now your standing as your power has gone. So now we know the serpent was an animal in the Garden of Eden being used by Satan to go and deceive Eve. Now, of course, maybe it comes a form of a shining seraphim, you know, like the angels and so on, the shining one. Of course, if you think about it, why would God, why would Adam, why would Eve talk to something that's scary? We always think that, well, pitchfork is on. No, right? That's how we get tempted. So that is what happened. So what happened to temptation? Here's the sequence of what happened. You see, the serpent is very crafty. That's why he uses tricks. Now, I can tell you that God gives us commands. God gives us instruction in order for us to grow. He has a good purpose. He wants to give us opportunity. But Satan gives us things to trap us. He offers us things that will trap us and get us in trouble. And, you know, he started by using this very powerful tool of asking questions. Do you know, right before this, there was not many questions being asked. God giving commands. And now the first person asking a question. And you see how the question is being asked, as I said earlier? The question is being framed to let... You know what the power of questions is? Is to make the person receiving the question think. So questions can be leading questions, can be trap questions. And the question here is to highlight, is to confuse, is to make Eve, right, look at the different aspect. And he asks, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? So it's like, we want to show you that God is someone who wants to restrict you, want to keep you from having fun and pleasure. That is so clever. Because if Satan said, hey, what can we eat? What is God asked us to do? You can eat everything. Only one little thing, don't touch. Not yet. Then we look at God in a different light. But very cleverly, God is on, can I eat any tree? So then Eve has to respond, right? So this is why, for us to protect ourselves, is whatever things that people come and ask us or sort of engage with us, we all need to understand who is this person asking and what is the purpose. If any question is asked for us to learn, I mean, we are asked to question, you know, the Word of God. But we question the Word of God with God's truth, not with someone else and say, hey, the world is like that. Why are you not like that one? Huh? The world is so free, you know, you are so very, very conservative and so on. Why can't we be like that? So the question is, you know, we test the question, but we don't check it against the truth of the Word of God. We try to test against outside truth, and this is a problem. So now Eve got a little bit caught in and said, oh yeah, God restricts us and so on. And then I don't know what happened, but Eve actually answered, oh, we may eat of any of the fruit of it. But God says, you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it. I don't know how she got it, but sometimes maybe human beings, we set our own routine, you know, so that we can follow God. But sometimes these traps of our own routine actually gets us in trouble, right? Let's say, for example, it's good to have devotions with God. But I set a routine then, every morning I must wake up from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, I do my devotions. And if I do it so well that now the 8 to 9 o'clock becomes very important. You know, if something happened to me, then I want. But here's the problem, because that's where Satan, so crafty, began to get Eve in trouble. Satan knows that God did not say he can touch and die. But now is the chance for Satan to say, hey, you can touch it and you won't die, right? So this is when Satan now, because now Satan sees that Eve is willing to engage with him. Earlier, it's just a testing. Really? God is not like that? God doesn't, you know, God doesn't care for you. That's why he doesn't give you all this one. Now, he knows that Eve is engaged. Now he can just directly, you know, go against what and tell a lie and say, no, you will surely not die. Oh, so if I won't die, eat. Why God is restraining us, woman? I tell you, God, God doesn't want you to have it because you will become like him. So now, can you see how he shifted, first of all, God's command, twisted God's command, after twist God's command, make him look like God is a bad God, keeping good things away from you. Now say that God is a bad God because, you know, God is jealous of you. You see how? He's creating that doubt in the command of God first of all. Once you believe that, now they say that God is, you know, is someone you command. So what's Satan's strategy? Very simple. Three steps. And it still applies today. whether it's from the world, whether it's from enemy, whether it's from our own flesh, whenever temptation, we will fall into temptation when these three stages happen. The first one is we get distorted from the force of temptation, whether it's the our flesh, whether it's the world, whether it's the enemy, they will distort God's command. Does that really? Did God actually say this? Secondly, is deception. So first one, the distortion, it talks about God's truth, God's command. And the distortion is that it's going to paint God in a very bad light, that God only give you command that will restrict you, that will not give you all this fun and so on. The second one is deception. Deception is God is a holy God, but also God is a God of blessing and so on. But we tend to only highlight that, oh, God will let us do anything, whatever we do. That means basically, the deception is that if you go against God's law, nothing will happen. It's okay. Are you sure? Surely a God of great grace will not punish you and so on. So you know why? So the first thing is that we are told that God doesn't give us the best. Number two, God will punish us one now. And can you see how the conflicting is, right? The first one is that God restricts you. Second one is that God will punish you, right? God is a holy God. And because you think that is perfectly okay to just go against God's word, that's when the third one, the desire, then the enemy will say that this is what you should have. And so there's a three step, right? I am already running short of time, but you take note, right? Satan is known as the father of lies, right? In 2 Corinthians, he disguised himself as the angel of light. John 8:44 says that you are the father of lies. And the way he tempt us is to create lies in this three area. He created a lie by distorting God's command. So that means when they distort God's word, lies about God's word, what is that? Satan is an evil guy. He is evil himself. But he lies that God is the evil one, that he is a good one. See how it twists? Secondly, he lies about the God's character, right? Deception about who God is. Now, God is a loving God, but God is a God that is upright and a holy God. That means there are certain things you can do, you cannot do. If you give a command, you break it, there will be consequences. And the third one is his lies about promises, because desire to good things. See what happens? You taste the tree of the knowledge and you end up become that evil, that sin yourself. Instead of going God's way, God will educate you, God will show you, and then you won't get caught up in the evil. But you see the promises, you get it right away, you get this thing right away, and then you suffer, right? Because it is a lie. And because of this, so can you see? Let me tell you this, that's how Satan works. Works in your mind that you think about God, you think about God's command, you think about God's one, and then say, oh, I think I can do it because the whole world is doing it, because there's nothing wrong with this. Then it creates that desire. Hey, the tree looks so good. Hey, the money looks so good. Hey, this sin looks so fun and so on. So once your mind is weakened, that's when your heart chooses what you think is good and fun for you, and that's when action happens. Can you see over here? Then he saw the tree, but of course the mind is really now weakened. Now you see something, you want the desire, and that's it. Immediately the fall happens, because Satan has already weakened the mind of Eve. That's why the only way we can protect ourselves is then we have to stand firm on the word of God, because Satan will always try to twist it so that you don't know what God says, or you get told that God is giving a command to make you suffer and to keep you away from good things. And then the twist will be on God's character. God is not really who he is and so on, right? He can't be that nice if he keeps all this one. Once you have that too, our heart, that's it. Then our heart is open to that temptation. And that's why he ain't. Okay, so because of this, I am going to, can we go to the next slide? So can you see, for all that's in the world, these three areas, the desires of the flesh, desires of eyes, and pride of life. Exactly what happened to Eve, right? The moment the mind is saying. And here is what James says. I'm not making it up. James says that every person is tempted when he's lured and enticed. That means the thinking first. And then that desire, right, turns to action. And that's how we fall, right? So I'm going to close off by saying that this is what happens when that fall happened. I tell you, our whole world, you know, completely upside down, right? Long passage over, the eyes was open, the fig leaves and so on. And, you know, and God sort of like came and I want to hide. So a lot of people think hide from the shame of their nakedness, their sexuality. It's got nothing to do with that. The nakedness is that you come to realize that, oh, I cannot hide anything anymore. I am now done something wrong and I can't hide it. So if you look at the passage, your nakedness will be uncovered and your disgrace shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will spare. This is Isaiah talking about the Babylonians. You become too proud and I'll expose all your sins and so on. And what happens? The first consequence of sins, our innocence, our trust in God, our reliance on God is gone. Now we begin to question. Suspicion, because Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, we have lost that childlike, you know, childlike innocence. Number two, can you see over here? This is now our relationship with God. God gives Adam and Eve a chance for them to own up. Have you eaten? Of course, God knew it. But if only Adam ever said, I'm so sorry, God, please, but not, maybe he would not have been punished like that. But because we refuse, and now, you see, can I see our innocence and then our relationship with God and now relationship with each other? So what Adam said, oh yeah, the woman, give it to me. You are the one who give the woman to me. Make me eat it. And then, so now the woman said, no, not me, the serpent. You give it to the serpent. You see now, that relationship horizontally also destroyed, right? And you look at the woman, right? Pain for children. Actually, the woman was designed for relationship. Remember, Adam was created, you know, from dust to look after the Garden of Eden. That means his job was to tend the garden, and he was, and the ground is cursed because of this. But Eve was created from Adam's rib for that relationship. That's why childbearing and so on, all done. And now the curse is that she will suffer in toil. That's why the mother is always worrying about the children and so on, right? And by the way, the curse is not that the ground is cursed in that sense, because there's still fruit. The curse actually means that God's blessing is no longer there. That's why we must work harder, right? So in conclusion, the good news is, as Auntie Sue says, can you see in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and offspring. That means the snake. And that means this offspring will bruise your head, stamp on you. But in the process of stamping her and killing you, he also got bitten by you. And that's actually a picture of Jesus Christ, right? Coming, stamping out the serpent, and in the process, gave his life. And that's why we can see this by looking at the last verse we have. Therefore, as one trespass because of what Adam and Eve did, all of us have the seed of sin, condemnation for all men. So, but with one act of righteousness leads to justification for all, and that's Jesus Christ. The first Adam causes the sin, and the last Adam gives us the chance for us to come back. I tell you, I don't know how else we can say it, the wonderful love of God. Let me pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for that reminder of what an amazing God, what an amazing love, the mercy that you have, that even so many times that we fail, you give us a second chance to come back. Lord, I want to pray for each and everyone in this congregation that we will learn to trust your word. We will learn to trust you, and we want to just subject all of our desire under you, so that we will not be trapped like Adam and Eve did in the fall. Lord, we thank you. We look forward for the rest of this series to understand your love, your grace, and your salvation and your redemption plan for us. Lord, I thank you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.